I greet you all in the precious and blessed name of Jesus our Lord. So soon 9 days have passed and the time of my return has come. But God willing, I hope there's a coming again. We are in the process of talking, discussing what is the need of this church, and is there a role for me to play? The Lord knows. If you pray, and we pray and think, God willing, I hope to be back here next year. Our hope is always that eventually, following Jesus, we shall all be gathered in the permanent home. Do you know that I was once a PR in Australia? 15 years. 15 years. I thought I was going to be Australian until they changed the law. And I found it was inconvenient for me to be Australian PR. So I gave it back to them, and now I'm a TR, only a transient. But, you know, we all are only transients. No one is actually PR anywhere. On this earth, we all are TRs. We all are following Jesus on the road to a place where we all will be PR, permanent. And I'm going to tell you the story of a man, the very first Christian, as it were, the first man who followed Jesus all the way. It began in the book of Genesis, and if you have your Bible, please turn with me to chapter 12, the story of how God called the first man to follow him and to begin a new group of people, a new movement of believers who followed the Lord Jesus. And I pray, as we consider this story, all of us will be convinced there is only one thing to do, to follow Jesus. Genesis chapter 12 is a thrilling story, more thrilling and more wonderful than any story you have ever read. Verse 1. Genesis 12, 1. The Lord said to Abram. You notice here it is called Abram, exalted father. But one day God was going to change his name to fit in with the prophecy which God promised him, to Abram to be changed to Abraham. Exalted father to be changed to father of a multitude. What multitude are we talking about? We are the multitude. From the time that he followed and he began this movement, more and more were gathered to follow Jesus. So Abraham was the father of a multitude of Christians today spread all over the world. Sydney, Singapore. Now read on. What did God say to Abram? Get thee out of thy country, from your kindred. What is kindred? Your families, your connections, those of the same clan, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. Verse 2. Now to follow that, if you follow me, The Lord says, I will make of you a great nation. Wow. One man to become a nation. You know what is a nation? Australia is a nation of Australians. We in Singapore are a nation of Singaporeans. Those people in China are a nation of Chinese. So God is going to make out of one man a nation. A nation of believers, including you, if you are following, if you genuinely follow and trust in the Lord Jesus. Verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. Now comes amazing promises. And I trust that you will follow. Don't know what these promises are. Promises made by God Almighty to a man. If you follow me, these are the things I will do for you. I will make of thee a great nation. One man to become a nation. I will bless thee and make thee thy name great, so that from then onwards, his name will be great Abraham. Many people will trace their ancestry back to one man, Abraham. And thou shalt be a blessing. Amazing. One man to be a blessing to many men. Are you? Let's read on. It's so exciting. Verse 3. I will bless them that bless you. Curse him that curses you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Ah, this is amazing promise. How can one man bless all the families of the earth? Verse 4 is the climax of this passage of Bible. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken with him. If he had done nothing and said, sounds good, God, sounds good, but I'm too old to move. No. The climax of the story here is Abraham pulled out his roots. How old was he? Read on. Abraham was 75 years old. Now you say, that is the age of retirement, isn't it? Right? Wrong. Because we are not talking of people in this modern age. Abraham came from the descendants of Noah shortly after the flood. At that time, there was a rapid fall in age expectation. Today, what is age expectation in Australia? 85. About 85. Average out all the people who die, it is 85. It's about the same as in Singapore, 85, 86. At the time of Abraham, what was the age expectation? Do you know? If you turn backwards, just one chapter, you see the ages of the people who were mentioned, they were over 400, 300, 200. But there was a rapid decline. This chapter 11 of Genesis is of a very special period, just after the flood. And the ages are falling down. Before the flood, how old were the people? Average. Do you know? 900 plus. 900 plus. You see, cannot be. Please understand. The environment around us that we live in is a age reducing environment. Please understand. Yes. The only thing is that nowadays, over the last century, medical science and researchers have found out ways to prevent early death. For example, today many people are saved from heart attack. Many people. In my day, my father-in-law and mother-in-law both died at 64, 65. Today, because of modern science, people do bypass, put things inside the artery and open up the artery. And so save them from dying at 64, 65, I told you, my parents-in-law. To live to 85, I'm 87. So because of, well, various factors. At the time of Abraham, 75 was not an old age, please understand. It was equivalent to a man of about half the age, about that. So that for him to move on and to follow the Lord, as God told him, you move. Now, the thing about this command and the promise is this. God did not tell him where. Says, Abram, follow me. To a place you don't know. And that is fantastic. Do you agree? If your neighbor see you packing up and moving house and shutting everything down, and going to go, the first thing they ask, hey, where are you going? And if you say, hey, I don't know, I'm just going. People think you're out of your head, you know, out of your mind. Where are you going, Abram? I don't know. God called me to go. Ah, this is the beauty of this story. He did not know, but he knew it was God. How did he know it was God? We are not told. We don't know. But God appeared to him in whatever form, impressed him. Whereas the idols in his home never spoke, never moved, never did a thing. And they were made by their own hands. You know how foolish mankind can be. Intelligent men. Called Homo sapiens, intelligent men, make idols with their own hands, put the idols on the pedestal, and then worship the idols and say, please protect me. How foolish they can be. And yet people do this all over the world. My ancestors came from such a background. Great-grandfather, grandfather came from idol-worshipping backgrounds. In their homes, there were idols. Until God sent missionaries to China. Until they heard the gospel. Then they came and they began to follow Jesus. Today's topic is following Jesus steadfastly. There are some people who follow halfway. Part of the way, then give up. Or some people, worse still, is pretend to follow, but they don't really in their heart follow. And they think they are Christians. You know what Jesus will say of these people? I turn you to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. So that anyone here who is not a true believer will take note. And come and truly believe in Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Verse 21 of Matthew 7. If you found it, I give you another moment. To those who have not found it yet, it is so important. Because these are the words of Jesus. He says, you follow me, that's good. But make sure you follow correctly. That you are a genuine follower, not a pretending follower. Verse 21. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, and seems to be following me, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Here is a word of warning. What is our topic for today? Following Jesus. Steadfastly. I didn't put in the title faithfully. Following Jesus must be faithfully, earnestly, from the heart, genuinely. Meaning to say, I give up everything else, forsaking every idol, cast them away, only Jesus. Now, look, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, what is that day? The day when they come, as it were, to the gate of heaven and knock on the door and say, Lord, can you let me go in? This is the idea of this verse. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we are Christians, you know. In our lifetime, we did many things. What did they do? He says, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. The word prophesied is to be interpreted as preach in your name. Have we not spoken for you? Okay. In your name, cast out devils. Oh, dear friends, have you any friends in some churches where they talk of casting out devils all the time? Some of them say so many devils were cast out, we lost count. Amazing. And these people will come and say, Lord, we want to enter into heaven. We followed you all our lives. Please let us in. And what will Jesus say? Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them. Verse 23. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. You say you cast out devils. Who told you to cast out devils? What sort of devils have you cast out? So, up to here is the sight reading. Dear friends, it's so good to see so many of you. And it's good to come back and see same faces still following. But make sure you are following the right person that you profess to follow. There are some people who profess, who declare they are following Jesus, but actually they are not. This is what Jesus says, not what I say. There are many Christians today who says we cast out devils, we speak in tongues, we have visions, we have prophecies, we have dreams. Amazing. On that day, Jesus says, who are you? You followed me? Please, I don't know who you are. And please understand, at heaven's door, only Jesus allows or disallows. Without his permission, you cannot get in. Why? He alone died for us. At this table, we remember him. Only one person. Who is it? Jesus. So he is qualified alone. Only one is qualified on that day to say who is a true believer, who is a true follower, who has really followed me earnestly, steadfastly, all his life. That alone counts. All right. Dear friends, What were the four promises made to Abraham? Do you remember? These are the four promises made to Abraham. Firstly, I will make you great. I'll make you a nation. How come? He was married. His wife was 65. He was 75. No children. How to become a nation without children? You cannot just adopt other people. God means your wife will give birth and you will become a nation. Okay, that's the first promise. What else? You will be a blessing. Then I'll bless them that bless you, curse him that curse you, and in you. Now this is the most fantastic promise. In you, through you, all nations will be blessed. Amazing. And there was Abraham, infertile, married at age of 75, I say, at least he would be married at least 40 years. At least. You agree? Of course. In those days, they tended to marry fairly young. Let's say 20, 25. Now he's 75. Maybe married 50 years. As a gynecologist, when we have patients who come and say, "Doctor, my wife is not getting a baby. We are married for 5 years." I say, "Bad luck. You're unlikely to get any baby. The chances are not good at all. Not good. Here is a 75-year-old man, married maybe 50 years, no children, and God says, "Abraham, follow me. I will make you a nation, and you will become a blessing to all the families of the earth." Wow, how can it be? Now, this is a test of faith. Did Abraham have the faith? What do you say? Did he have faith or no faith? Yes! Correct answer. Although you don't say, I think most of you are thinking, yes, he had the faith. Now, next question. How do you know he had the faith? The proof is in his moving house. The proof that he had the faith. God says, "Abraham, move. I show you another place to stay." If he says, "God, it sounds good, but let me consider it. Maybe after discussion with my wife, I say, it sounds good, but I'm not going. You keep your good ideas to yourself." There is no faith. The faith is obeying God's word. So the first lesson for us all to learn here, if you hear God call you and you say, let me think about it, you have no faith. And you do nothing, and eventually you stay put and do nothing, no faith. Abraham moved house immediately. Amazing. Now we're going to read about what happened to this man of faith. Do you know that in our Christian life, Abraham is always quoted as the man of faith, the man who obeyed God, and we follow him, we follow his example. All right. Hebrews chapter 11 is our main text for the day. Verse 6, talking about faith. What is faith? Here it does not define faith, but it tells you what faith will do. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Please all find it. It's very important. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, impossible to please God. If you say, Lord, I think that was a very good idea, but thank you very much, I think it's a good idea, but I'm not going to move. How can you tell me to move? My business is in this place, and you tell me to go where? You don't even tell me where I'm going. Verse 6 says, that kind of thing is no faith, without faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. For he that believeth that cometh to God must believe that God is, and he is the rewarder of them that seek him. How do you prove that you seek God? How do you prove that I'm seeking God? Whatever God says, you say yes and obey. This is faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. There is no other way to please God. Please understand. Only one way. What is it? Obey. Today's topic is following the Lord steadfastly. Steadfast means all my life, in all that I do what he says. That is steadfast. Are you following him steadfastly? Now, we are very interested in what happened to this man, Abraham. He followed the Lord. He plucked up. I told you his neighbors would have asked him, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. All of them will think he's a fool. He's a fool. Going to emigrate but doesn't know where he's going. But the important thing that proves he's no fool is he obeyed God. If God says to you, do this, and you say, I will think about it, but you do nothing, no good. Now we are interested in following what Abraham did. Verse 8. By faith, obeying God, doing exactly what God says, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going. This is an exact description of this man. You say, what a fool. Do you know, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. As long as you follow God and do his bidding, you are the wisest man and no fool at all. Verse 9. Now, it is interesting to follow the adventures, as it were, the experience of Abraham. Having followed God's command to move house, do you know how far he moved? There is no exact measurement, but it could have been hundreds to a thousand miles around that. Not by air or by motor cars, but by animals, maybe camels, maybe horses, maybe on foot, that kind of moving. Not easy, I can tell you, not easy. All right. When he arrived in the place where God told him to come, he says, what a place. My hometown, much better. Ur of the Chaldees was the most fertile land of the Middle East, where the two rivers flow. Do you know what the two rivers are called? Euphrates and the Tigris, the two major rivers that flow through the land of Iraq. That's where Abraham came from. Now he goes to a place called Israel, the land of Canaan. Have you been to the Holy Land? I was there some 20 years ago. And we are going next end of this month, in 3 weeks' time. I said, this land, there's only one color to describe this land, brown. Everything is brown. Everything is dry. The mountains are brown. The land is brown. The farms are brown. A dry land. So, verse 9 says, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. So it is. He says, when Abraham arrived there, he says, Lord, what is this land? You asked me to move house. Now I come to a place like this. So Abraham never built a house when he arrived there. Do you know this? Why did he not build a house? Because God showed him this is a very temporary place. So he exemplified, he expressed, I agree, Lord, you say it's temporary. I will live in tabernacles. Where does it say so? Same verse. By faith, he sojourned. You know what is sojourn? He was like a visitor. Sojourn. Sojourn is a visitor. And he did not plant roots into the ground there, but he lived in a tent. You say, maybe he got no money. No, but the word of God says Abraham was very rich. But he did not build any house. Why? God told him, Abraham, this is not the home I call you to. The home I'm calling you to is far away. The home is in heaven. Alright, read on. Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. Verse 9. Dwelling in tabernacles is the word for tents. They had many tents. You know what is a tent? It's made of skins. In those days, today is made of fabric, and it is easily pitched, easily dismantled. Collapse it, roll it up, move. Together with his son Isaac and grandson Jacob, the heirs of the promise. Why did he do this? Verse 10. Because he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. All his life, when they arrived there, he never built a house. That's why people call Jews wandering Jews. You ever heard the term? Wandering Jews. Because they arrived at the land and they did not build a house. Verse 13. These all died, not ever having found the land of promise that God was preparing for them. But they died in faith. Please note, it's very important. They died in faith. Meaning to say, they pleased God, but they died. He said, what a reward. Following the Lord until you get to the land and the Lord says, no, it's not this land. And you die. Read on. Not having received the promise, but they saw it afar off, having seen it afar off. Ah, where is the promised land? Where is the true promised land? Dear friends, do you know? Is it Australia? When I first came here and became a PR, I thought it was great. I never knew Australia was so beautiful and so big and so rich. So I was so happy to be PR. Until they changed the law. And then they told me, hey, you want to continue to be PR? you got to do this and that. The other, I said, no, thank you. You can keep your PR. I go back to Singapore. Verse 13 says, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob all died in faith, not having received the promises, but they saw them. And one look at that land of promise is enough. One look is enough. What did they see? Afar off. The city of God is afar off, dear friends. You see, coming to Sydney BP Church, I never received the land of promise, but I saw it. Where is it? Verse 13. Yeah. They saw it afar off and were persuaded. God convinced them, and they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now that is the story for today. Coming to service every Sunday, reading the Word of God, following Jesus, must be steadfast, unchanging, unwavering. Don't after a while say, too tired. This church is so dull. I don't have all kinds of fantastic business other churches have. I think I better move away and give up. No, dear friends, to follow Jesus is to do what he says to do, exactly as Abraham did. Abraham did not build a house, dwelt in tents. He did not receive the promise on this earth, but he saw it afar off. We too. Following Jesus is not for now. On this earth, how long can you live? How long? 100 years? Is it good? Dear friends, living on earth is not for length of years. If you hope to live long, it's a wrong hope. It's a futile hope. When you live long, you get into the bracket of old age diseases. All kinds of old age diseases come to those who live too long. Then you say, what do we do? I don't want to live then. No, God will give you the strength to survive. But long life on earth is not the solution, not the promise of God. God promises you what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. So Abraham saw it, and he therefore lived the life of a pilgrim, sojourner, moving from house to house, place to place, by tents. Verse 15, truly if they had been mindful of the country from when they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Please, what does this verse 15 say? If you consider what you see, you will pack up and go home. This is what it says. Did Abraham says, I came to the wrong place, Lord. Why do you ask me to come to this place? I better pack up and go home. Because back in Ur of the Chaldees, where the river Tigris and the Euphrates are, much, much better. True? Absolutely true. You go to see the land of Iraq, it's a very fertile land. Much better than Israel. But God says, no. The promised land is not this. Not on earth. Look. And they saw it afar off. Where does it say so? Verse 13. They saw it afar off. God's promises are afar off. You don't get it now. But His promise, you will be there. And that land is forever and ever and ever. Never, never ending. And that land, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter. Jesus says, only he who does my will enter there. Make sure you are doing God's will today. Make sure that God is with you and you are with God, and that what you are doing is what God wants you to do. Follow the Lord steadfastly. Pray for your leaders. Pray that you all will follow the Lord Jesus steadfastly all your life. Never stop, never deviate, never give up, never change course, but only follow the only Jesus. Now I want to sing with you a closing hymn, and that is, somehow it's only sung, as far as I know, at funerals. But it is a song that is better than a funeral. 548. 548. In the sweet by and by. There's a land that is fairer than day. By faith we can see it afar. This is how Abraham saw the land. How? By faith. Let's arise to sing. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father is over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet in the beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. For the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. Thank thee for calling us to follow Jesus our Lord. May we follow him faithfully, steadfastly, happily, looking for the coming again of our Savior to take us to the land of everlasting life, everlasting joy, everlasting hope. O Lord, bless your people here today with the grace, mercy and peace of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated.